You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at wearelibertarians.com. We are supported by listeners like you. Donate per month or make a one-time donation through PayPal or Patreon at wearelibertarians.com. Welcome to We Are Libertarians. I'm your host, Chris Spangle. We bring you all of the irreverence modern politics deserves while putting people before political parties. We examine current events from a libertarian perspective with the goal of leaving you better informed. Please be sure to rate and review us on iTunes, like us on Facebook, and become a subscriber at Patreon at wearelibertarians.com, which is the hub for all things wall. Without your financial support, independent media like this cannot exist. In exchange for your supporting of the program, we're going to give you awesome bonus content. Sometimes that's an extra hour a week of us talking about issues and other things. This show is crowdsourced, so you can send us news with the hashtag WALNews, W-A-L News, or in our Facebook group or Discord channel, which you can find at WeAreLibertarians.com. We're always taking your questions and comments via email at editor@WeAreLibertarians.com. Please be warned, this show is raw, unedited, and authentic, so the language is sometimes strong and offensive because we talk like ourselves. In this show, we will bring you the headlines, and then we will cover net neutrality. We're going to talk maybe a little abortion, but first I want to introduce my co-host for this episode. It is the dashing Harry Price. Harry, how are you?
Doing good. I just want to comment this thing. Just go up to the people in the Facebook chat group that's noticed some of this. Here on the back end, you know, he's using this iPhone right here, and he's going to use this dongle so he can hook it up to the board, you know. So.
Right. I got a dongle. Mm-hmm. I have several dongles. So I'm awaiting the day when we have a lot of people donating on Patreon. Then we've got tens of thousands of dollars to spend on a professional studio, so I don't have to spend an hour and a half screaming at my equipment. Yeah. Have you ever spent the night screaming at your equipment, Harry?
Yes, I have. And sometimes it's a lot of fun, but sometimes it's not. Especially when you try to get something going and actually moving. It's like, why won't you just work?
Then
it does the job.
I want to, before we jump into the news of the week and start talking through all the stories that you need to know, want to take a moment, point of personal privilege. As all of you listening know, this has been a difficult week or two or three for the We Are Libertarians family. And I have received so many nice emails from people. I'm not going to read those emails, but I just want to say that if you reached out to me on Twitter, on email, on Facebook message, and just sent me a note of encouragement and thanks, I really do appreciate that, and you personally, I'm speaking to you this side, Harry, you have no idea how much that meant to me and how much easier you guys have made this on me, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for just being the community that I love. You guys are so great, and I know that you guys are reaching out to everybody else, and Harry, one thing is clear, everybody loves you.
Yay, which is a shocker.
There's just like a whole segment of the audience, and I didn't realize till you started the Discord chat, and I don't understand these people. I don't have anything in common with them, but you do, and you're going to... That's why I just said to you before the show, I was like, you know, you should do more on Tuesdays than just picking stories and talking and all that, because like they really like you.
Yay. Well, yeah, we the Discord people, like, I was shocked with all the people jumping into Discord, or even the shocked of the people that really care that the words that are coming out of my mouth. It's just really, it's nice. It's amazing. It's very high humbling, and it's kind of a little scary.
Uh-huh. Yep. Because now you're like, I realize that the things that I say here mean something to people, and they listen to it, and you go, I better do extra due diligence to make sure I'm not dumb.
Yeah, I'm not dumb, or I'm not saying anything out of turn, or make sure like everything is well researched. And even when, and I also like it that them and the guys in the Discord chat are very, you know, they have no problem about messaging me like, yeah, Harry, two episodes ago, what you said was wrong. And I appreciate that. I love that, you know, especially when they send me an article. Here's another article to rebuttal what you just said.
Sure.
And that's what the cool thing about the Discord chat. It's more of a chat room than a Facebook group. So it's not really like a post and have discussions underneath and like. It's a, you know, back to the old days of basically a chat room. It's a little bit, it's prettier than an IRC chat or an AIM chat, you know, for LP people who are still using AOL Instant Messenger. it's nice because we get on there and we post memes. It is out from underneath right now currently from the Zuck thumb. So anything basically goes that we allow, and myself, I kind of allow anything as long as it doesn't get, you know, people with shiny shoes kicking down my door. I'm not going to ban anyone from there. I'm not going to kick anyone from there. And like I said, unless you send people with shiny shoes to my door. You know, so it's kind of raw there. It can get that way. But most of the time, like, I am shocked at some of the discussions that happen there.
It really is the urchins of the wall world.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I check in once a day just to kind of read through it. But I try not to hang out there just because I feel like it's like when the teacher goes to the party or if your parents hang out like behind in the row behind you at the movies.
Yeah,
so
yeah, they summon you down, though, sometimes.
Oh, they do. Yeah. Yes. They had a lot of questions over the last week and a half. And I just... trying to be as gentle and graceful as possible. Mm-hmm. But.
Yeah. Which is really cool because it's like I said, it's a more of a chat room. It's more of a discussion and allows us to flow and have communications with. And also, like myself, like when I do, like we Twitch stream on Friday nights, the Friday like Discord game, which sometimes not everyone gets on to play a game or we all can't agree on a game. You know, we just go in our little separate rooms to play games. I do Twitch stream it. So like if you're not a gamer, you just want to jump on a Twitch and have a conversation with me or just talk about different stuff, I'm fine with that too. I let open the voice channel that I'm also on the Discord chat just because some people like myself, I hate chatting and typing
a lot of typing.
Yeah. I'd rather just have a conversation.
So one of the cool things that's happening is that you guys are since we started the Patreon and started asking people to subscribe and giving them bonus content and creating another group and another Discord channel, our recent troubles, we have really been deeply engaging with a lot of the audience, and we want you to join the conversation. So please, we want to see the stories that you care about. That hashtag is WALnews. Use that on Facebook or Twitter. Get in the Facebook group and post articles that you think are interesting. You're going to hear a lot of stories tonight as we start to try and do more news and talk through the news a little bit more and just give you more because that's what you guys have said you wanted. So, and the other benefit to hashtagging, other people can search those hashtags. You can converse with other libertarians. You know, we don't believe that we are the end-all be-all of libertarian thought. We are just trying to present ideas, and we want you to engage with us and say, hey, Harry walked in and goes, you were horrible last week. You were awful. You were so wrong about so many things. I was like, well, hey, you're wrong, but let me hear why you're wrong. And he explained his ideas, and I listened to him, but he was wrong. And so... But it's about having a conversation, and I think what we're trying to do here at We Are Libertarians is have a conversation about current events and libertarian principles and try to do something different than you're getting anywhere else. Like, I watched an hour of CNN tonight. Wolf Blitzer is the worst piece of garbage on the planet. They were talking about Jeff Flake and Bob Corker, which we'll explain in a moment. And it just was Republican rep after Republican senator after Republican rep coming on and Wolf Blitzer going, do you renounce Donald Trump? I mean, for an hour of just, do you renounce Donald Trump? I mean, I just didn't learn anything that was going on in the world. It was just very lame. So independent media like us really needs your support. And that part of that is communicating with us and telling us what you want to hear and what you're interested in and conversing with other like-minded people. As you will get in the Discord or the Facebook group or using the hashtag WALNews. All right, so let's get on to the news of the week. First up, our first story is Senator Rand Paul and Ron Wyden are unveiling a long-awaited privacy protective surveillance bill. And you can search that headline at Reason. Reason wrote about this. As did a few people, but Reason covered it the best. And Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, FISA, if you've heard of FISA courts, establishes some of the rules for federal intelligence agencies, Harry, when they snoop on the communications of foreign targets and foreign targets on foreign soil.
Correct.
Now, they've abused it as as the government is wont to do. And they are spying on American citizens.
I'm shocked.
I know. And the FBI has conducted backdoor searches, to fight domestic crimes, and it happens without a warrant and without mm-hmm. citizens knowing.
Ooh.
And it's a wide sweeping thing. It expires this year,
mm-hmm.
and so now they have to let it sunset completely, which I would be in favor of, or lawmakers must renew it now. Now, Senator Richard Burr, B-U-R-R, drafted a bill which was debated today
okay.
behind closed doors. And it not only renews 702's current set of federal powers for the next 8 years, it expands them, and it formalizes some of the activities that people like you and I would disagree with.
Yeah.
So Burr's bill would, this is from Reason, formally authorize the FBI to use information from communications collected without a warrant and for a list of wholly domestic crimes. These include various offenses, including kidnapping, crimes against minors, pretty much anything related to cybersecurity, organized crime, sex trafficking, and anything related to national security. Furthermore, if the Attorney General determines that a crime qualifies as part of this list, the bill declares that this decision will not be subject to judicial review. It would also restore what is known as about searches, communications collections, and these have typically been described as allowing surveillance of communications to a foreign subject. But in fact, the feds were also collecting communications about a foreign subject. So they can, let's say, Harry is actually French and he's suspected of terrorism. They can go on and they can just type in Harry Price and start collecting information about the Harry Prices of the world.
Oh,
so
how convenient.
Yeah, so it just continues to shred the Fourth Amendment. And so Ron Paul and Ron Wyden and Rand Paul, two of the best senators on privacy, have drafted a bill that would do the opposite of what Burr wants. It would roll back the NSA and FBI's ability to secretly, warrantlessly collect, access, and use communications from American citizens or from people on American soil.
Mm-hmm.
And the bill, if you want to look it up, is Uniting and Strengthening America by Reforming and Improving the Government's High-Tech Surveillance Act of 2017, the USA Rights Act. It would restrain their ability to acquire or access American information, and it has some exemptions, and so it does allow for surveillance of foreign domestic terrorists, but it is much stronger in protecting American citizens. Ron Wyden is somebody that has been absolutely fantastic on government spying,
mm-hmm.
as has Rand Paul.
Yes.
So be sure to look out for this bill, because I think it's something that's not going to be talked about in the mainstream media because Donald Trump tweeted, but something that is incredibly important to our Fourth Amendment rights.
Oh, yeah. It's that whole, like, when everyone got up in arms around what Snowden and the other whistleblowers were talking about in around 2008, 2009, about, like, them taking that Director Prism and all that to against the, you know, like, U.S. citizens. It's, and they were collecting, and even also the whole thing of this case, you go through it, they can't even, the Congress can't even find it out, one, how many, like, American citizens have they actually hit with this thing. Because it's classified information, and a lot of people like to address it as it's all like, well, they could use it. They've never haven't been done, but there's been clear cases inside the United States of them using some sort of program or something like that to basically backtrace and find different things. Now, granted, some lives maybe has been saved from using this program.
Sure.
But, you know, it's a huge violation of rights. It's just, and it even goes back to Ross Ulbricht, that case. We still do not know how they found the server, how they found it, where do they backtrace this traffic, how do they get there? Did we know that they had people inside of Root Access? Yeah, but we still don't know how they found it.
Right. Snowden was a great movie. Watch that. Check that out. We have the movie poster on our wall, and I think that will scare the crap out of you,
yeah.
and you will start looking into the USA Rights Act.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let the fact that it was by Oliver Stone scare you. It's actually really great. Our next story, the FBI failed to access 7,000 encrypted mobile devices. Now, the government, Harry, is very upset right now. They are pissed off at encryption.
Mm-hmm. Good.
This is from BBC News. Agents at the U.S. Federal Bureau of Investigation have been unable to extract data from nearly 7,000 mobile devices they have tried to access. The agency's director has said, Christopher Wray, said encryption on devices was a huge, huge problem for FBI investigations. The agency had failed to access more than half of the devices it targeted in an 11-month period. One cybersecurity expert said such encryption was now a fact of life, Many smartphones encrypt their content when locked, a standard, a security feature that often prevents even the phone manufacturers from accessing data, including the beautiful, wonderful iPhone.
Yes.
So, Harry, you've got to be thrilled that your data is secure.
Yeah. Do I think they could probably crack the passcode on here? Yeah, because I've memorized it and, you know, usually a little wet noodle decryption on me, and I'll give them the passcode. But, you know, Apple does it really well because Apple does it by default. Android just now starting to encrypt things by default, but even then you can easily opt that out of on Android because it slows Android phones down when you encrypt it.
Right.
Apple is a little more streamlined with it and
a little more superior, right?
Well, it's because they control
it's okay, you can admit it. Yes, they're superior.
They control the hardware and the software. So it's a little bit more optimized. We'll say optimized.
Right. Which means superior. Okay.
So optimized. So it ends on for and the idea I almost think it like I don't really kind of trust it. I think they're trying to say like 7,000 phones that they can't easily decrypt.
Right.
Because to me it's like I don't know, because usually if you've got a subject and you've got one person that you know that's like, if I would have had to break someone's encryption on someone's phone and get the passcode off it, I like to see how many other passwords of this person I can collect, because people leave passwords everywhere. Like most people, like on their phone, like they'll let Chrome or Firefox save their passcodes.
Right.
You know, a lot of that's in plain text. You get some of those passcodes out of there and you can basically look at the way this person creates passcodes. Chris, you let LastPass create your passcode, so there's a lot of random characters, but sure. A lot of people don't. A lot of people just like, well, I just make up words. Or someone can look at it long enough, like, wait a minute, this is a book. Someone's using a book to create these passcodes with, which, you know, get me wrong. Hey, I used to use phrases, too, to create passcodes, and I'm going on a tangent on passcode.
Yeah, you got 30 more seconds, Harry.
Give him a ton of timer. But, like, you could use that to crack the passcode, and, you know, that's not beyond the capability of the FBI to basically go through someone's history to break these freaking passcodes. So,
yeah, I mean, if you remember, we dodged...
I don't really trust it.
Yeah, we dodged a bullet, and maybe they're laying the groundwork for undoing this, because during the San Bernardino bombing situation... Mm-hmm. He had an iPhone, and Apple refused to let them into the phone, and they said, we can't even break into it. Like,
yeah.
And we're not, there's like three people in the world. We're not going to compromise their safety by figuring out how to break our own encryption.
Correct.
Because then they become a target. Then every government in the world starts to want to do it, and that defeats the point of the encryption. So we're not going to do it. So
yeah.
So hopefully this is not laying that groundwork.
Yeah, and with every government backdoor, if a government can get in for a backdoor, any person, any cracker out there can do it as well.
Right.
And if you're thinking like, well, they won't let secrets out. Hey, this is the same government agency that leaves, you know, laptops everywhere with nuke codes and stuff on it.
Right. So. All right, on to politics. It has been, frankly, it's been, I don't want to say a historic day, but definitely Donald Trump continues to push the political system to the limits of what it can stand. And part of me loves that, but he's also a total degenerate, and I hate his guts. And
degenerates are awesome people. Okay,
you're right. You're right. He's an insult to degenerates everywhere. And you had it started off. We'll talk about Bob Corker in a moment, but the bigger story I think is I don't know. They're pretty equal. Senator Jeff Flake was somebody that was coming in 2010, I think. Mm-hmm. And was somebody that I think the YAL, Young Americans for Liberty, worked with him. He was supposed to be one of the new Ron Pauls of the world. And frankly, Jeff Flake from Arizona has been a disappointing senator in a lot of different ways and didn't turn out to be the great non-interventionist small government hope that a lot of us libertarians would like. But he's still a fairly conservative senator. The Club for Growth rates him very well. And ironically, he has voted politically, as has Bob Corker, with Trump 100% of the time in terms of in agreement on policy. Jeff Flake, though, has been a constant critic of Donald Trump and was somebody who wrote a book in 2016 about American values and how Donald Trump betrayed those. And so he's been on Trump's S list ever since. And Bob Corker, I think, is the more interesting story, which we'll get to. But Jeff Flake decided not to run for re-election and decided to finish out his term, which I think is pretty incredible. Now, not incredible if you look at the polling, okay? He was, according to his own polling, he was trailing in public polling to former state senator Kelly Ward, an arch conservative endorsed by Bannon, Steve Bannon, who mainstream Republicans considered unelectable in a general election. Kristen Sinema, a progressive turned moderate serving her fourth term in Congress, is the likely Democrat. Take this for what it's worth. John McCain said, "I knew that he was thinking about it. Very sorry it happened. He's one of the most honorable men I've known." And Chuck Schumer says he's one of the finest human beings I've met in politics. He's moral, upright, and strong, and he will be missed by just about everybody in the Senate. Now, he doesn't seem to be a bad guy to me. In watching him, he just seems to be in disagreement with a lot of the things that we believe. A top Republican strategist told Politico that they'd been polling since the beginning of the year and had repeatedly found no path to victory in either the GOP primary or the general election. A month ago, his team delivered the news to the senator, and he's been considering retirement ever since. And he's basically lost to everybody. There wasn't a Republican or a Democrat that he could beat in a primary or the general. His problem was the center of the electorate, which usually supports McCain. They just the independents didn't know Flake, or they disliked him because they just heard bad stuff about him. So. He said in his speech as he said goodbye, it was a pretty stunning way to go out. Most people do it in a statement, or they hold a press conference, or they do it back in their home district or their home state. Bob Corker did it from, Jeff Flake did it from the Senate floor. Mm-hmm. And so he stood up there and he said, the following: "We must never adjust to the coarseness of our dialogue." Now, there are a lot of people, let me preface this. Yes, he is now growing a pair of balls because he's retiring, as is Corker. But Flake has been a consistent. He's having to retire because he went up against Donald Trump and lost. And Trump, for his petty credit, was beside himself with joy, according to reports tonight. That's not a joke. That's people said he was beside himself with joy. he's something else.
His second self.
"We must never adjust to the coarseness of our dialogue with the tone set up at the top. We must never accept the deadly sundering of our country. The personal attacks, threats against principles and freedom and institutions, and flagrant disregard for decency. Reckless, outrageous, and undignified behavior has become excused as telling it like it is, when actually it's just reckless, outrageous, and undignified. And when such behavior emanates from the top of our government, it is something else. It is dangerous to a democracy." The decision came to Flake. So then he goes on to say, "I'm aware that there's a segment of my party that believes that anything short of complete and unquestioning loyalty to a president who belongs to my party is unacceptable and suspect. The notion that one should stay silent as the norms and values that keep America strong are undermined, and as alliances and agreements that ensure the stability of the entire world are routinely threatened by the level of thought that goes into 140 characters, the notion that we should say or do nothing in the face of such mercurial behavior is ahistoric and profoundly misguided." So I found his speech. Wow. I think it's worth watching. Mm-hmm. It's worth 17 minutes of your life to go and listen to what he had to say. Because I think it's like McCain's speech, even though these guys are people that we disagree with. And here's the thing about Trump. I think Trump is blamed oftentimes as the cause of a lot of this behavior. But I don't know about you, Harry, but to me, Trump just seems to be the symptom of the underlying problem. Like, he is most people.
Yeah.
Most people are Trump. And mm-hmm. so it's not Trump. It's that people are outraged that we've become this.
Yeah, they're seeing there's like a mirror of themselves. They see it inside there, and they're like, "Well, he's doing this to American politics." It's like American politics is already like this.
Of course,
maybe it had a little bit more decorum or more etiquette and used better words, but it's the same thing. It's the same thing that has happened.
Right. Even in the founding times, we were falling into disarray. But like you watch. There was some Idaho senator on Wolf Blitzer tonight, and he was one of the people just being pounded mm-hmm. by Wolf Blitzer. You know, "Do you agree with Senator Flake and Corker? Like, are you for or against Donald Trump? Do you believe blah 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 blah?" And like the guy was just evading the question, and you really get the sense that like what Flake is saying is what a lot of these guys believe. It's just they're too much of a coward to say it, and like that's really the problem in politics is that it's inauthentic. It's dishonest. They're cowards.
Yeah.
They don't say what they actually think. And you may not like Donald Trump, but you know where he, I mean, you know where he stands at that particular moment. It just, it's going to change in mm-hmm. like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But like, that's the appeal, is that he is a change from that kind of senator. And for all of his flaws, John McCain's one of those people who's disliked because he just says, man, here's what I believe. Get over it.
Yeah, go on.
Right.
Back in his cage. But yeah, but most senators or most congressmen who say what they believe, you know, they have a safe district.
Right.
You know, like Ron Paul, say what you want about him, but he had a safe district.
Yeah.
You know, he can get out there and say what he wants, and he probably would have did it whether he had a safe district or not, but he had a safe district.
Yep.
Just like Rand, he was a little scared there for a second for his reelection, but once he's got it, you know, he's feels more safe, but he's made such a name for himself, he's okay. He can go against Trump. He can work with other people because he's now safe.
Yep.
And it's, you know, it's just how some of these, like, you know, congressmen are. Like, until they get safe, they get scared.
Yep. And so, like long story short, don't be a pussy if you're an elected official or in general.
Yeah, like Joe Donnelly, he's a little up, you know, he's a little scared, but he's getting, you know.
Yeah, Joe Donnelly's the Indiana Democrat, which means he's like a Republican in New Jersey.
Yeah.
He's like a far right Republican in New Jersey, but.
Right. Yeah, and he messes up on the main stage because he doesn't get well with the main stage Democrats because the main stage Democrats does not work here in Indiana in the flyover states.
Yeah.
So he's got to like kind of like work this whole line, which, you know, like, well, that's the state that he's in. I'm not going to make excuses for him. That's his party. That's his excuses. But, you know. So.
Yeah. So if that was the only like Republican speaking out about Trump, I mean, of course, it is significant when somebody gives a speech that was as eloquent as Flake gave on the Senate floor as they exit the stage, basically saying, like, I've got kids and grandkids. And I think really what a lot of it comes down to for so many people is, would you allow your 8-year-old to talk the way that Donald Trump talks? Would you allow your 8-year-old to be as petty and as awful as Donald Trump is? Would you, when he talks and does these sorts of things, can you explain it to your 8-year-old kid? And that's kind of like the litmus test that is being applied in the media. Grown-up life is much harder and much more complex than we allow 8-year-olds to see it.
Yeah.
But there is something to be said that if you're going to, like, as we've talked about over the last few episodes, Harry, I mean, a moral code and having personal principles are the underlying fabric of libertarianism and freedom. Mm-hmm. Like, if you and I don't treat each other with personal respect, then that fabric gets torn. And I think the values that Donald Trump exhibits so often are antithetical to the way that two individuals can relate, and therefore antithetical to libertarianism.
Correct, yes, yeah. Because he just doesn't have it. Now, granted, Donald Trump speaks like an 8-year-old sometimes, you know? But it's,
right.
And it's kind of hard to describe anything to an 8-year-old with going meritocracy because a lot of them are lawyers and stuff like that, and they don't speak like lawyers. So,
sure.
Yeah, that's the whole thing of the that principle mindset, so they actually have something back to fall back on instead of, like, all the other junk. So they're not listening to a lot of the, you know, what you quote-unquote money lobbyists.
Right.
That's why, like, you can find yourself can agree with and someone who's like that does fall back in principles. That's why so many people in the libertarian movement clench onto Ron Paul.
Mm-hmm.
That's that main reason of that, like, that cult of personality, because of his principles.
Yeah.
Even like my person, like, who I, you know, I like during the LP campaign, the establishment anarchist Darryl W. Perry. I liked his principles. He's a hard worker for liberty. You know, so that, you know, that those principle moments right there. That's what you like. That's what people fall back on.
Yeah.
Especially in their darkest hours when they're behind closed doors, you know, they fall back on their principles.
So Bob Corker is somebody that I think is an interesting person and kind of like his style, to be honest. He's from Tennessee. He's the senator from Tennessee. He is the head of the Foreign Relations Committee in the Senate, which means he's one of the most powerful people in not only the government but the entire world, because he controls some of the purse strings of the Foreign Service Department and is involved in a lot of foreign decisions. And obviously, as we, in my opinion, have an empire, you have a lot of decisions to be made abroad, and he's a very influential person, which means he's also a very powerful person in his home state. I don't know what the polling was like and if he would have won. Like, Flake was going to lose, but Corker didn't seem to me to be one of those people who was in trouble. But he just didn't want to go through the hassle of running for election again and continue to serve with Donald Trump. And he had an interesting day. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to agree with you, BF, because he just, you know, disagreed with all of that. He hated the, like, the whole, you know, parade of it all.
I think we got an insight today in an interview with CNN that he did that you can check it out at CNN's website that I thought was really interesting. Just hearing his two press conferences that he gave today uncut, I think, are a fascinating insight into how Washington is really working right now. And Corker was one of Trump's early advisors and was somebody that was being looked at as Secretary of State. And, you know, he ended up not being chosen as Secretary of State. And he has been critical of Trump now. They had a spat and they had another round today that was a doozy. If he basically went on the morning shows like Good Morning America and NBC. And he said on NBC, if you start taking things off the table before you get started, you make that very difficult. Essentially, Trump was going to Capitol Hill today to have a luncheon with the very Senate Republicans and I think some of the House Republicans as well to smooth over some things so they can get ready to really pass this tax reform package. They've got to do something or Trump's reelection, their reelection next year when they have a chance to pick up many, many Senate seats, is going to be in jeopardy now that they've failed at Obamacare. They failed at some big items that we detailed in the past, but the biggest one being Obamacare. And then failing at tax reform, it will be what good are you? And so he was there to rally the troops today. And he was basically saying, you know, if Trump starts taking things off the table, he makes it very difficult. So he hopes that the president will leave this effort, if you will, to the tax writing committees and let them do their work and not begin taking things off the table that ought to be debated in the committees. Mm-hmm. Essentially saying that tax law should be written by tax committees in the House and the Senate, where tax law is supposed to be written and not at the White House. And then he was asked on NBC, and this would make me mad too, so I'm going to give Donald Trump the benefit of the doubt on this one. If Harry asked, do you think Chris Spangle's a national security threat?
Mm-hmm.
And then Corker said, well, he needs to be contained by Jeremiah and James Neese, and maybe he is. And that would make me mad too.
Yeah.
But Corker was asked if he was a national security threat, and he said to NBC that he needs to be contained by members of his cabinet like James Mattis, Rex Tillerson, and John Kelly.
Yeah.
Let's put that into perspective. All right, so we get into the petty dramas of politics, but let's put this into perspective. You have a Republican head of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee saying that the Republican president of the United States is a threat to national security. And that somebody needs to take care of this adult baby in the White House. I think that's an extraordinary thing.
Yes.
Now, I think it's extraordinary when a senator calls the president a giant baby. Let's see how Trump reacted to it. Bob Corker, who helped President O give us the bad Iran deal and couldn't get elected dog catcher in Tennessee, is now fighting tax cuts. Corker dropped out of the race in Tennessee when I refused to endorse him and now is only negative on anything Trump. Look at his record. Well, the record is he was one of your main advisors.
Yeah.
He probably was going to get reelected.
Mm-hmm.
He is not against the tax cuts. You and your White House are the ones saying he's against the tax cuts to make him look like somebody posted in our Facebook group. You know, this Bob Corker was against tax cuts and is a neocon. This Trump guy sounds pretty good. I'm like, hold on a minute. Bob Corker has never said he's against the tax packages. Mm-hmm. All he's saying is that he thinks the Congress should do it. And he dropped out of the race because he didn't want to deal with your bull s, and not because you refused to endorse him. He flat out says you're lying. And trust me, I'm going to believe Bob Corker over Donald Trump when it comes to the truth. I don't even know Bob Corker. Like, I've never really heard of the guy until 2016.
Yeah.
But I know Donald Trump's a fat liar. He did have a lot to do with the Iran deal. So that is a fair charge by Donald Trump. Corker replied, same untruths from an utterly untruthful president. Alert the daycare staff. So Corker just gives it right back to him, which is part of why I've started to like him. He's pretty entertaining.
Yeah, so, but he's right, yeah.
Yeah, so Corker basically went on to say, like, this is just untenable. Like, this is, you need to go watch the Flake speech, and I think you need to go watch the, and we'll put them in the show notes, you need to watch his Corker's reviews today, because I think they're saying what everybody in Washington is saying, what a lot of people in America are saying, and people are afraid to say it, because that's what bullies do. Bullies don't let you speak out against them. And all of these Republicans are scared to death right now, thinking what Bob Corker and Jeff Flake are saying, but they're afraid to do it because they don't want to get bullied like Jeff Flake and Bob Corker. Now, they're grown-ass men who are senators, so bullying is, like, not the right term. Like, they're not defenseless. You know what I mean? But it is very interesting to watch what happened to Jeff Flake when he took on the president for the last year and a half.
Yeah, they're politically intimidated. He's trying political intimidation. That's what he's
trying. Exactly right.
You know, because one person has to do an election next year and the other person doesn't. So
exactly right. on to a heartbreaking story in politics, Harry Price. Kid Rock gave an exclusive interview today to Howard Stern on SiriusXM and said he is not running for Senate. Mm. And I quote, "Are you effing kidding me? F no, I'm not running for Senate. Who couldn't figure that out? I'm releasing a new album. I'm going on tour too. Are you effing shitting me?" He asked her. And he basically said, "We started going with it. Everybody got their panties in a bunch," he said to the chatter. "I have people that work for me, and they're in on it. And I'm like, F no, we're not doing that. But let's roll with it for a little while. This is awesome." And he said Stern asked him if it was a strange position to get political if he's a musician. He said, "It's the worst advice that I ever gave myself was to be political, because it's been the most creative thing I've ever done, and I've gotten to see everybody's true colors." So it's interesting, you know, once you start getting real out there, then you start seeing how people react to you and how they truly are, if they're your friends or not. If you're Kid Rock, I mean, he's a walking cash register, I imagine, to most people in his life.
Yeah, I'm sure he probably, like, didn't want to do it, then really thought about it, and then he looked at all the FEC filing, all the stuff you have to do through all the regulations for running for Senate, and he was like, "Oh, screw that.
Yeah.
Screw that noise."
Yeah, exactly. And he said, "If they keep effing with me in the papers and everything, I'm going to run, and I'm going to go to effing DC. I'm going to beat the S out of Debbie, whatever the F her name is, and I'm going to go to DC and I'm going to smack the living S out of all those MFers on the Hill." He said the actual words. I'm just trying to clean up the show a little bit. Richie, his real name's like Richie or something. It's not Kid Rock. Believe it or not, that's not his given name. He basically thanked everybody who supported him, including the White House, I guess, was on board. And so was Steve Bannon, who gave him a call.
Oh, man.
And, you know, the moment the talk of a run began, everyone goes, "He's a Klan wizard. He's a homophobic. He's Islamophobic." And I'm like, "This is kind of fun," Richie said with a chuckle. So yeah, he was just having a good time. I got my hopes up because I was actually going to support Kid Rock.
Not James Weeks?
Not James Weeks, who danced naked on the stage, who would be the alleged libertarian candidate up in Michigan. I'd have to go Kid Rock.
That's horrible.
He's an American badass, okay?
If I can't dance, I don't want no part about you with your revolution, okay?
All right. You guys. All right, this is a headline. Harry, I'm going to have to use a bit of our racism insurance, so please get ready to exercise my premium. Hopefully, Roy Moore.
I'm just going to open this PayPal account up. Hold on.
Hopefully, Roy Moore doesn't hit the deductible here. But this is a headline in The Hill, Harry.
Okay.
Roy Moore. Gay marriage ruling even worse than 1857 pro-slavery decision. Now, you'll remember Roy Moore beat Luther Strange in that runoff a few weeks ago that we told you about in Alabama. The Ayatollah of Alabama, as we said, would really be like this year's Todd Akin or Richard Murdoch, where he's going to say all kinds of crazy shit or things are going to get dredged up and then everybody's going to have to defend them. So let's deep dive down into what year was this? last November when he said this.
So ancient history.
Republican Senate nominee Roy Moore once argued the decision to legalize gay marriage was even worse than its ruling in the 19th century Dred Scott case, which found that African Americans were not citizens and therefore property. Yes, sir. I was simply pointing out that in 1957, the United States Supreme Court did rule that black people were property, and of course that contradicted the Constitution, and it took a civil war to overturn it. So, to his credit, he's against the Dred Scott decision.
Yes.
So we got that on record. But this ruling in Obergefell is worse, in a sense, because it forces not only people to recognize marriage other than the institution ordained of God and recognized by every state in the union, says that you must now do away with the definition of marriage and make it between two persons of the same gender, or leading on, as one of the dissenting justices said, to polygamy, to multi-partner marriages. This was produced by the Christian Emergency League, which describes itself as a group of pastors and theologians, and it was uploaded by the liberal super PAC and talking. So the left found it. So Harry, let me ask, Harry, you are... black.
Yes. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
you identify as black. Do you think that allowing gay marriage in America was worse than you being property?
Let's see. Well, 1857, that was that jobs program for all the unemployed black people.
Right. Right.
It's wrong and insensitive. But
shout out to all the people you enslaved, by the way. Would you like to admit what you did in the past?
First off, my family, didn't have slaves when they came to America.
Because you were forced to give them all up by England, and you moved to America because it was still legal here, you racist.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, if you go back to my family history, that's all out there. That's all true. They actually even went to the French side to screw over England because they got rid of their slaves.
You know, the black people that caught the other black people to make them slaves? That was Harry's family.
But, that's okay. But, see, that's some of the...
No, it's not okay.
It's ancient history. Anyways, water on the bridge. It was a jobs program. Like I said, it was a jobs program. Best thing ever happened to black people. Sorry, that's a bad joke from the Boondocks. Great episode, by the way, when you can listen about Kitcher Freeman. But,
Is gay marriage worse than you being property?
No. First off, this guy's just misinformed, and he doesn't have any principles. The thing when we talk about principles, he has no principles to fall back on.
Right.
He's basically going to have feelings and emotion and these sandy principles. It's one thing the ANCAPs do have a good thing on is trademarking everything, because if the Christian church just trademarked marriage,
Right.
They could define it whatever the heck they want, but didn't trademark it. That's your own fault.
All right.
I'm waiting for the trademark marriage memes right now.
All right. On to a little bit of Clinton news. So basically the investigation, the thing with these special prosecutors, it expands and it grows tentacles. And part of the problem with these is that they start going into places that you don't want them to go if you're certain people. And everybody was worried that it was becoming a witch hunt, but it is becoming a witch hunt. Prepare for the documents, Harry.
Okay,
I have the documents right here. New York Daily News is reporting the special counsel's probe into Russian election meddling now includes the Democratic-leaning Podesta group. According to a report, Robert Mueller is looking into the group headed by Tony Podesta, the brother of the Hillary Rodham Clinton campaign chairman John Podesta, over its dealings with the Ukrainian government-linked firm. They reported Monday the prosecutor is now reportedly conducting a criminal inquiry into Tony Podesta and his group for a failure to register as a foreign agent, which is compulsory when lobbying American lawmakers for another country. And let's transition right into House Intelligence Committee Chairman Devin Nunes. This is on Axios. Announced a joint inquiry between the House Intel Committee and the Oversight Committee in the Obama-era Russian uranium deal. What the joint investigation wants to know, per Nunes, whether or not there was an FBI investigation. Was there a DOJ investigation? And if so, why was Congress not informed of this matter? The Obama administration reportedly signed off on the Russian deal despite the fact that the FBI had evidence that Russia used bribery to edge its way into the U.S. energy industry. The Clinton Foundation is implicated in relation to donations with potential links to the uranium deal as well. So if you read Clinton Cash, or you went go back and listen to our Clinton Cash episode, you will hear us talk about these deals now. The House and the Mueller investigations are starting to they're looking into some of these things, and the accusers are now wishing we may wish we hadn't started this, because now they're coming after the Podestas and Clintons. Oh shit!
Yeah, kings don't kill kings. Clinton will be fine.
Yeah,
she won't see a lick of jail.
Yeah, lick of jail was sort of a weird phrase to use there, Harry. Yeah. I mean, Hillary might like a lick of jail.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the scary thing about all like, those Russians thing is like they went so hard in one direction, and watching it all just fall back in the other direction is like, oh, whoa.
Right.
And watching everyone start connecting dots and everything else is like, wow, this is, you know, one, it's like, you know, nothing's going to happen from it, but it's kind of nice to watch it come out and watch the mainstream media just ignore it.
Right.
And the only thing they want to talk about Russia is with when it has to do anything with Trump.
Yep.
Anything with Trump, it's they'll try to link Russia to him. But Clinton, the Clinton Foundation, no. Even when Hillary was doing like the circuit for a speaking book, they didn't bring up any of that crap.
Yep. Never.
Nothing.
Never. This from antiwar.com, one of the best sites on the internet. The U.S. to put nuclear bombers back on 24-hour alert. U.S. officials say they are not planning to nuke anybody in particular, but they are preparing to resume 24-hour ready alert for nuclear bombs the first time since 1991. STRATCOM or NORTHCOM commanders would have to make a specific order for such a move, but Air Force General David Goldfein is said to be increasingly interested in getting the nuclear arsenal ready. They are implementing these measures because they're anticipating an order that might conceivably be made very, very soon. I don't think there's anything we can do with that right now, but just something that I thought everybody should be aware of.
Yeah.
Seems a little weird.
Yeah. It's a move that like the military can make, and the simple fact that the Trump administration has given the military a little bit more control for the actual boots on the ground. They're not controlling so much from D.C. They're allowing the troops around the world to, if they see something they think they should move, they could do it and then talk about it later.
Exactly.
So this is probably some general or something like that that saw this and said, you know, we need to get this going.
Yep. U.S. airstrike kills 14 civilians in eastern Syria, according to antiwar.com. U.S. warplanes attacked the Qusar district in Syria, a government-held area in the nation's far east, killing at least 14 civilians and wounding 32 others. The Syrian Observatory for Human Rights reported that 22 civilians had been killed in the attack. The U.S. had not commented on the incident yet, but spokesman Colonel Dillon promised to, quote-unquote, check the reports. And he said there would be no reason for the U.S. to attack the city, as neither the U.S. nor its Kurdish allies are operating in the area. That, of course, is not exactly a denial, and it's unclear if we'll hear about it again soon. The attack is likely to be a serious problem with respect to U.S.-Russian activities within Syria, as Russia is backing the Syrian government, taking the Diyar Ezzor province from ISIS, and doubtless won't look kindly on the U.S. attacking a Syrian city in the area. Final news, not our final story here, because we've got net neutrality to talk about, but I wanted to touch on this because I've seen it all over Facebook.
Ugh.
I know, but we got to talk about it because I think people, you've seen the ugly crying face of the transgender woman that assaulted a child in a restroom, and we need to talk about it because what you're seeing on Facebook is that a transgender woman attacked a child in a restroom. And this is why we need to keep transgender people, you know, their biological form. They need, if they were born male, they need to go to the male. Because now we finally have our first assault. The right got its red meat. They got the first assault on a child in a restroom. And this is proof, Harry. This is proof that this is going to happen all over the country, all of the time, right?
Yeah, it's proof if you read, if you just read the headline and just hit the share button.
Right.
You know, if you just hit the share button, went around and didn't really read the article, poke around, because so many different sites took this and then just kind of sparsed information. It was very hard to really get like the first article from it or get the meat from it. I actually had to cross, you know, lines and talk to some of the leftist statists to really like find like the big meat about this article.
Right.
And when you, what you find out when you read the article, you deep dive inside of it, you find out this is a home's bathroom. It just happened in a house bathroom.
Yeah, 10-year-old girl in a bathroom was attacked by Casper resident Michelle Martinez, whose legal name is still Miguel Martinez. Was convicted of 2 charges of sexual abuse of a child and faces up to 70 years in prison. We're certainly not making light of that trauma. No. That is a terrible thing to happen to anyone. Mm-hmm. We're making fun of baby boomers on Facebook who don't read articles.
Correct.
According to the Casper Star Tribune, Martinez knew the victim and lured her into a bathroom to assault her. Mm-hmm. Nurses confirmed it. Martinez denies that this was true. It wasn't a stranger lurking in a public bathroom. It was, as often is the case when children are molested, the victim knew her attacker, and the mm-hmm. restroom in question was in somebody's home. Yep. It doesn't fall into that main narrative. And secondly, there doesn't need to be another law, because the existing law on abusing a child is adequate to take care of it. If she gets the maximum penalty of 70 years, she's not going to be in a position to ever attack another child. So no law would have prevented this, and yeah, the hysterics just are not needed. Right. And kind of gross, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's gross. Yeah, not excusing any of that. That was awful, and people who deal in like pederasty, they, no. Throw the book out and put them away.
Right.
You know, those type of people, like I've always said, they just should not be walking around normal freaking mm-hmm. people. Okay, it's so enraging to even know like someone like that. And what I hate is that people are adding that to the to being trans, like, well, this is why trans people are mentally ill. It's like, well, there's, you know, it's, that's, the trans thing did not make, you know, turn her into a pedophile. That was right. Something else. It's something different broken inside that other person.
Yeah.
And you know, and going after, and then you got the same thing with these baby boomer conservatives who go like, well, now try to blanket all these trans people for this one thing. But at the same time, they were trying to, they got upset because they got blanketed being gun owners from it. You know, so it's like this.
Can someone please message Aaron Ewert and tell him to stop FaceTiming me because I'm trying to do the show? Oh my God. Why do people like, hold on.
Now he won't pick up?
No, now he's not going to pick up. I'm trying to do the podcast. Stop calling me. I hung up on him. Ugh. So tired of having friends.
Fans.
Ugh. Outrageous, Harry.
Awful. Awful.
Go ahead.
That's okay.
Back to child molestation.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Yeah, topic no one really wants to talk about.
But I feel like you need the truth behind the Facebook headline. Let's go on to our Discord choice of the week. We've asked our Discord and our Facebook chats, hey, give us some news. And this week, Harry, Discord got to choose the story. So this is not a drum roll with paper. So what are we talking about this week?
Apparently, net neutrality, which is always going to be in the news up until the government really gets what it wants.
Right.
Before we go into this, I like tearing down the FCC. I hate it. It's a terrible organization.
Same here.
I really don't want to defend it. They are awful. They were designed to basically help distribute out a limited resource, which sounded like an okay idea back in the time, but if you go actually into its history, it has done nothing but hinder communications in this country, put us more at risk, and are some of it is one of the worst government agencies. There's a reason why we don't have that many radio choices on FM and AM. It's why podcasting has blown up so much, because they have kept their thumb on radio for so long. Once the internet came in and opened up and allowed everyone to have like their own voice and create their own thing, you know, it was a very beautiful time.
So let
the FCC at one time got so many different requests for people to start their own like radio station or just have a broadcasting station on their FCC airways, that instead of dealing with the issue, they just threw them all away and told everyone to resubmit.
Yeah. So here's what the FCC does. Here's how it was started. It started in the early days of radio to basically regulate. The concern was you have this limited amount of radio bandwidth on the AM and FM dial, and now that we've discovered radio with frequencies, we as a government are going to want a jurisdiction over our land's radio, A, to keep foreign actors from having radio, signals in our airwaves, but also to make sure that everybody just doesn't build their own radio station and everybody crowds everybody out, and then there's fights between signals and I don't know what they were thinking. Like, to me, it's freedom, and it would have all gotten worked out. It's very, very expensive.
Yeah.
It's insanely expensive to run an AM radio station and less than an FM station. But you've got things like CB bands, Wi-Fi bands, radio bands, and both AM and FM. You've got TV bands. You've got military bands. You've got EMS bands. So you've got all these different radio frequencies that the FCC guides now. Over time, they granted themselves the power to start monitoring the airwaves for indecency. And after the Janet Jackson kerfuffle, you started to see them become the free speech police.
Yeah.
And look up Bubba the Love Sponge and the pig. He basically played audio of a pig being slaughtered, and local PETA and animal activists got him fined for $750,000 for killing a pig on the air. He didn't actually do it. It was a tape. I work for a show that I don't know that they ever got fined, but we definitely had to stop playing a good portion of the catalog out of quote unquote community standards. My community loved what they did, but the nannies of the world, a guy that I went on to actually do fight the property tax thing in 2007 with John. Wish I knew his name, but he was the one who petitioned the FCC to get them fined and kicked off the air because they were too crude. And Howard Stern obviously went to satellite radio in 2006 because it just became so untenable. And the standard was essentially, we don't know, like I asked one time in 2004, what are the standards? Because I got yelled at because I said scumbag on the air. And they came and they talked to me and they said, you can't say scumbag on the air. I said, why can't I say scumbag? They go, that means a condom. It's a bag of scum. Cum. I'm like, who knows that? Nobody knows that. You know, like, well, if we get fined, we could get fined for it. I'm like, yeah, but nobody knows what a scumbag other than, like, the word scumbag is. You know what I mean? Like
the 80-year-old with the phone. I'm going to
exactly
go get them.
And so it was just up to the jurisdiction and the guesses. Like you literally just did nothing out of fear. It was the same as like these Republicans are bullied by Trump, so they just do nothing.
Right.
Because the government bullied them. Now, then Obama came in and Michael Powell came in, Colin Powell's son, later in Bush. And then the Obama administration, the FCC really started to wind a lot of that back. And now they just kind of regulate. Let me explain this to you, okay? I work at a cluster with four radio signals. And each FM tower has one tower. The AM tower has three towers. And that's because it has to broadcast at three different wattages through the day because of the FCC.
Yeah.
And it's just insane. The amount of money that it takes to keep an AM running especially is crazy. But the FCC just really doesn't have much to do anymore, so they're trying to find their own way.
Mm-hmm.
And then
yeah, because AM signal changes at night. People who listen to AM radio, you can hear radio stations from like, what is it like? It's miles opens up at night. The AM bandwidth. That's why like a lot of people talk about like listening driving or listening to AM radio stations because at night when you're driving, you can hear radio stations from AMs from like all kinds of different towns you've never even heard of.
We used to get we wouldn't power up, and so Abdul and I would be on the air in the morning, and we would get emails from Norway.
What?
Because the AM signal, even at like 1,000 watts or whatever tiny little signal it was, it would bounce on the curvature of the earth just the right way to land in Norway.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And so So it and so every morning we had a guy from Norway that listened because he could pick it up 14:30 on his in his AM radio.
That's
because
crazy.
He was just in the right position on the earth to hear Abdul and I talk about Indianapolis politics. So yeah, you have different frequencies, but the FCC was basically granted. They're putting this really weird in 2015. The Obama administration essentially made the internet. You can go back and listen to our podcast back in 2015 where we kind of break this down, where they basically, the net neutrality is in the title, they made the internet a public utility, and the FCC gets to kind of govern it. But there's some stuff happening with net neutrality because it's all based on executive orders. It's not based on any kind of legislation. It's not in law.
Yeah,
because
that's a federal regulatory agency.
Right,
it's not,
so...
Yeah.
We're now going to play ping pong with this every time we get a different president. So what's happening with net neutrality, Harry?
Right now, until the government really get, well, each administration gets what they want, it's each going to keep coming back out there. And it's this weird fight with you've got, because the Electronic Freedom Foundation and other people, they really don't know what they want. And what they're trying to fight is that tiered throttling situation from net neutrality, that they believe that because ISPs want to have the ability to throttle things or tier different things who don't pay them money. And the only reason we're in this type of situation because the FCC limits the number of ISPs, and watch that. And they try to say, quote unquote, they're there to help with, make sure there's competition, but there's not, you know, there's, and they, a lot of misnomers, a lot of people who like talk about things, all right, so let me slow down.
Yes, please.
Sorry, FCC just gets me so angry, so mad at them, because I love radio, okay? And then I love radio. I'm not a radio expert. I am a radio noob, but I love it. It's a lot of fun, especially some of the weird things you can do. Anyways, from this article, why is the media smearing the new FCC chair? Where did this one come from again? Oh, Forbes.
Forbes. Yeah, yeah, there's okay, a yeah, there's so a writer, and let me say, if you want to know what's going on with a lot of this, there is a writer at Forbes, and man, I wish I had kept his name in this, but
yeah, you did printed this off weird.
I printed it off weird, but if you go Google a legislative solution for net neutrality may be close. It's the same writer, and he is following this really closely. And this guy at Forbes just really understands this stuff really well. And if you want to follow what's going on with net neutrality and the FCC, this writer at Forbes is amazing. So I'll put links to all this in the show notes at wearelibertarians.com, and you can get all the articles that Harry and I read in prep for this.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Because basically, what's going on is the a lot of people on the left are going after the new chairman, which is Pai, who Trump put in place, and they're trying to say that he wants to put back in a lot of the old take out a lot of the old regulations that Obama did, but which. And they're just kind of like just dragging his name through the mud, using different things that he's been on the committee different for. But in all reality, Pai just sees it as the case because he wants to be able to bring broadband access and internet access to the last mile. Basically allow the internet to flourish like it did back in 08 before a lot of different rules of the Obama administration did it. And the only way that really did it is because the ISPs believed that they could charge different people different rates to get into this tiered system. And a lot of people are hating this tier throttling system, but the thing is, they get ticked off because they want to do this internet, but you know, they're allowing other companies to do that to them. They allow Verizon to throttle them. They allow AT&T to throttle them. They allow Comcast to throttle them right now. Comcast throttles streamers all the freaking time. You can get on Twitch and you can watch streamers they start lagging out of nowhere because they're getting throttled because they're transferring so much AT traffic uploading it because they've got a home line, not a business line. They want them to get a bit more expensive business line. And a lot of people are like, well, you know, they're going to make some sites slow, some sites yeah, but a lot of people who say that type of thing, right, you don't understand the massive bandwidth that the internet does have with what you have. Anyways, you're already throttled down to whatever package you want to buy from your ISP. So if you're throttled down to 100, 100 megs down, 100 megs up, yes, you're being throttled because you don't have a gig connection. You're being throttled. Just like the simple fact that, but most people don't leave Facebook. Most people just do Facebook, Netflix, okay? And they just eat up those different, and that's all they do is just stream Netflix movies all day, or they stay on Facebook. So they wake up talking about, like, well, they're going to follow the internet. Well, you know, Netflix is probably going to pay a premium to their ISPs to make sure you can get that HD streaming content. And it has been proven that they've done this in the past. Like, a lot of people had to jump on the VPNs so they can get, you know, Netflix without it streaming everywhere. But most Netflix people use VPNs right now just to get different content out of Netflix, because you can get, you know, they don't think the cat's out of the bag on this. You can get different content from Netflix depending on where you're streaming from. Like, I've got a VPN in, let's see, I've got one in England, and I've got another one in a different country. And depending on which one you're at, you know, I can get different freaking content out of Netflix. Now, just because I'm masking my tracks and getting it out from that different thing, but back to the net neutrality deal. Because what everyone wants, and they like to believe in, this idea of like a free and open internet. Yeah, but that's more of how do you want to describe the internet? To me, the internet is just that fiber optic backbone that connects different devices. That's, to me, that's the internet. And the FCC and the United States federal government will always be in the way of your ability to connect to this fiber optic connection. They, you know, like, from just limiting the number of their ISPs, limiting the, like, just like the signals that you can even use. The, like, a lot of people, like, we were talking about radio towers, you know, like a 4G LTE connection, right? Everyone sees that as expensive and it's really hard to do, but honestly, the GSM technology is freaking beautiful, the way that freaking works, and that anyone basically can have their own freaking GSM tower. They will communicate with each other and give us amazing freaking coverage, you know. But, you know, they don't want to have it. Like, GSM towers aren't expensive. I built one for $2,000. Okay, I built one for $2,000 sitting in my basement, and it's an amazing piece of tech that I do love playing with. I don't turn it on much anymore, but, you know, because I don't really have time to play with it. I do plan on hopefully I make it smaller and less power so I can take it to Porkfest, but, you know, that's here, no there.
Harry, you're having the time of your life, aren't you?
I get to talk radio and dissing the FCC, so yeah. Now, granted, like, you know, because, like, Pi believes he's doing a good job of trying to make the internet open up, because, granted, those incentives will probably make ISPs dig the last mile and bring things in, because if they know they could charge extra for Netflix or whatever content in a certain area, you know, they're more apt to build, or they can get like a different thing to build into a different area that doesn't get it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the FCC is also in the way with other regulations because of the simple fact that like different areas would have broadband access or just faster internet access if the FCC just got out of the way for people just using different radio signals, just use not WiMAX, but like different doing lasers or different there's so many different radio technologies to be able to have people to be able to connect to the backbone of the fiber optic network, but it's too hard to do anything because the phone companies, the freaking is a utility, which, you know, you can have tons of different DSL companies all connecting to the fiber and allow DSL connections out. Remember, like, well, it's DSL. DSL is only slow because AT&T controls it. AT&T is a bunch of dicks. Everyone could probably get 100 megs down on a DSL connection if the fiber optic connections were close enough.
I wish they would let me, you know, to be honest.
What are you talking about? My house, I have a DSL access. Do you know why I have DSL access? Because there's a fiber optic connection where my DSL connects to. So I'm not connecting to a signal office like miles and miles away. It actually is down the street from my house. And that's where the fiber connection's at. I only know where the fiber connection is because if you get on the dark fiber, you can look at all the different fiber connections going through the country. You know, and Indiana has a lot because of all the manufacturing and the military bases. So there's like weird. If you get on the website, there's a huge map of the country that you can get on. And I recommend doing that when you're looking to buy a house because you want to get closest to that fiber as you freaking can.
Yeah. So FCC, the net neutrality, it's all about the fight between the FCC and the FTC. You've got well-funded consumer advocates who want to nationalize broadband infrastructure, which, look at all of our infrastructure, that really hasn't worked out well.
Correct, yeah.
It's an uncomfortable public effort by the FCC to grant itself new relevance and power. It's a struggle between the agency and the courts over general principles of legal interpretation and regulatory defense. And a convenient rhetorical device in an increasingly partisan argument over the future of democracy, free speech, and other important principles challenged by disruptive technologies, each of them equally unrelated to network management. Okay. So net neutrality is coming up it's going to Harry while Harry's in the bathroom right now. So I'm getting messages that things are falling apart in the world and net neutrality's up before Thanksgiving and it may get rolled back and everything's falling apart. We're going to be okay, guys. What it comes down to net neutrality for me, like I get the argument that the basic principle is we don't want tiered internet. And you don't want to empower the telecoms like Comcast and AT&T and everything to start structuring the internet and picking winners and losers. And for instance, Facebook is kind of doing this right now with their they're charging pages a ridiculous amount of money to get seen in people's feeds. And at the same time, giving access to people like CNN and New York Times and other outlets, they're giving them white label access just direct to the algorithm.
Yeah.
And you'd get somebody like a Netflix or a New York Times who would get access to the better tier of the internet. But you would be limited to places like WeirdLibertarians.com, for instance. Mm-hmm. So you've got you've got that argument that you don't want these ISPs treating something that everybody relies on as, you know, their personal playground. But at the same time, they're the ones paying all of the cost to lay all of the line to get all of the wire to our houses. And so they are allowed to recoup those costs, and it is capitalism, right, Harry?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, but it's also a perverted form because laying all that cable, they don't have to. There's radio signals that we can use to get to that, so they don't have to go to that. Like some of these house divisions, they can just run fiber to one point and mm-hmm. then use radio signals from each different house. Like right. You can put in like just four GLTE towers, stick it there for the apartment complex, and then everything just connects to this thing wirelessly in this one different area to this one freaking tower.
Right.
But you can't do that. You know, okay, you can do that, but the regulatory hoops to do different things. One of the main reasons I don't turn my tower on anymore is because I hate going through all the FCC licensing to turn this thing on for a split second.
Mm-hmm.
I have to, first thing I have got to do is I've got to pay the processing fee, the license to get the experimental license.
Mm-hmm.
And before I do that, right, I've got to build this thing first because they want to know what signal I'm broadcasting at first. They want to test and to get all that. I had to spend all the money to get the tower built first before I even got my license. So I had to get it spent. So and now I've got to hope they approve my experimental license. And the area that I'm in, I'm only able to turn it on certain times and only for a small window. Yeah, nuts.
Sure.
Yeah, well, sorry. And it's a terrible thing about it because, like, if I set it up correctly, that GSM tower was more helping out every other GSM tower around me. I had to tell it not to let other different phones and things I didn't want to connect to it, so it wouldn't crash my freaking my server that I had running on.
Right.
But yeah, I get that. Like, they're trying to make it to that last mile. But the thing is, the only reason they're doing it is because how the FCC regulates the ISPs and allowing things in the area. There are better, different companies. Things are different. Tech is coming out. But they've got such a, you know, monopoly control, like monopoly control on everything. So they control that, like the connection to that fiber connection that, you know, they can basically dictate the rules anyways. And it's so like it's. I hope out of this that people understand that if they're looking for a savior to the government, it's not going to happen. Net neutrality is that tiered government system, that tiered internet system, it's going to happen. They will wear you down until mm-hmm. that happens. A1 for everyone fighting the good fight. I will recommend an awesome fight that fight. But your effort could be used better doing to different technology because Ernest Hancock, another podcast I listen to, and mm-hmm. Declare Your Independence. I'm not going to shout like he does, but if they can, they will. And if they will, they've already have.
Right.
You have no proof that they're not doing that currently right now. We've seen some of the stuff through Netflix and some different ISPs doing that. So it's my thing is, like, if they can, they will. You know, Ernest is right with this. So it's more of get past a different system, support different, like, technologies that get you past their little system, their little connection system. You know, if you've got a mesh networking set up, like, in your town, you know, hang out with those guys. Find out what's going on like that to get past these different, like, you have to work towards a signal. A lot of people are like, well, that's not proven tech. Yeah, because everyone's so easy going to different things.
Right.
You know, like, find a local mesh network and learn about different networking techniques and to move different things to it. There's so many other different tech that's out there that wants to get past that government system.
Right.
Because as long as they've got control of it and they're going, if their teeth are in it and they're not going to let go, that's not going to happen. No one's going to go in there, at least in, as I see it in my lifetime, the federal government's not going to let their teeth go of the internet.
Sure.
So, like, you've got to learn different things to get past it. And that's just the way that things are. Now, like, I'm not a, I love streaming tech. I love streaming different technology, but you can use different things to, like, get past there. Like, if you have a online public library, like, using, like, RetroShare between different people, you can use that to share and stream different things from other people, and you can use different VPNs to try to hide that, try to mask that traffic. Now, granted, ISPs can throttle your VPN connection, slow you down from there.
Here's been my issue with net neutrality all along, is that it is the entrance of the government into the pipes of the internet. I mean, it's their entrance into...
They're already there.
Right, exactly.
They're already there.
I mean, the 96 telecom laws mm-hmm. and all that. So.
Yeah, they're already there, and who knows how fast the interconnection was for prison, like, even going through it, like, because they're scanning every piece of traffic, and they're copying everything that's coming out the internet anyways. So you're already throttled from that right there.
Sure.
Just because they're mirroring everything coming out of a port.
Yep. All right, final thoughts on net neutrality, Harry. Just keep it to 20 minutes.
I'm gonna keep it really small, Adam. Do the same thing like I said with Ernest Hancock. I said, if they can, they will. And if they will, I'm like, hey, they probably are already doing it. You know?
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it. Like, I will, you know, like, I think the Electronic Freedom Foundation has done a lot of great work. And they've pissed me off sometimes, but they're willing to fight this fight, you know, on awesome. But at the same time, it's like, I'd rather work on different technology, different things to get past that system. You know, like, looking at things like MadeSafe and trying to get past that type of stuff. It's what I would rather put my energy to, you know,
right.
Like, learning different tech, just, you know, bypass the system and then you have the ability to, like, you're still there. We're over here now. You know, we don't need your permission. We're over here. We don't need you anymore. You know, like, all that money you spent with that, who cares? We're over here.
Right. All right, thanks for listening to this episode of We Are Libertarians. We appreciate you being with us so much, especially to our top donors, Craig DaCosta, Jason Doolittle, Christy Avery, and special thanks to Brantley Spicer. Apparently something's happening in the Dear Leaders Court. There's some drama taking place, and something was said about me, and Brantley was so mad about it that he increased his donation from $25 to $50 a month. So special thanks to Brantley. Very nice of him. So if I seem distracted this last 10 minutes, that's what's going on, because everybody's texting me and I'm like, I'm in the middle of a show. We can deal with this later. Yeah. But special thanks to him and everybody who has supported us. You guys are awesome. And we're going to keep cranking out that content. We hope that you will keep getting involved. So thank you for joining us. And until we next week, we will not be live because it's Halloween. So we may do Monday or Wednesday or a recorded show or something. But we will have two shows next week, come hell or high water. But it is Halloween night and Harry has a daughter. And so we want to and I've got a movie premiere with our friend Emily Sweet, who was co-host on the now mothballed Chris Spangle show. The feed's still out there. I'm still putting in content in there, but we're not doing the show at this point. So
it'll come back.
Maybe. We'll see. All right. I got a lot on my hands right now, but teaching people how to podcast on the Chris Spangle show feed at the moment. So check that out. Thanks for joining us, and then we will see you on Thursday.
Join in on the conversation. Visit the sidebar at wearelibertarians.com and join our Facebook group, meet other listeners, and get our daily news dump.
The Boss Hog of Liberty podcast is the latest hit on the We Are Libertarians Network. Each week, Jeremiah Morrill and Dakota Davis explore life in Henry County, Indiana.
It's a show about our circle of friends, public officials, and our experiences. 80% observation, life, humor, and 20% politics. Boss Hog of Liberty is the day-to-day happenings of Henry County, Indiana, which is just like your community. Add us on iTunes and sample us today.
dear leader would want you to.
Oh, f***. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad is liberty. Each week, we strive to bring you the best guests in talk radio. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad delivers weekly interviews of noteworthy politicians, experts, and activists. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad is bringing the party to the Libertarian Party and launching ideas in your direction. Check us out at JohnnyRocketLaunchpad.com. You can hear me, Kurt Nelson, and the beautiful Heather Nixon talk about the ideas of liberty. Rock and roll.
Hey guys, this is Roger Paxton, and if you're fed up with the government running every single aspect of your life, but you're not listening to the Lava Flow podcast yet, then what's wrong with you? Check us out at thelavaflow.com, or just go back to sucking up to the government. The Lava Flow podcast, striking the root every single episode.
It's time to shake up your podcast feed, folks, by subscribing to Lions of Liberty, the only libertarian variety show out there. Spend Mondays with me, Mark Claire, as I feature in-depth interviews with great names in the libertarian community and fun roundtable discussions.
Electric Liberty Land with me, Brian McWilliams, every Wednesday, your weekly dose of comedy, culture, and liberty.
And Felony Fridays with me, John Odermatt, where I expose injustice in the broken criminal justice system.
Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and at lionsofliberty.com.
Thank you for listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Get our other shows at wearelibertarians.com.